Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast, number 137. As always, it is so good to be with you today, to challenge you, to encourage you, to exhort you, and yes, even motivate you to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are to those who are not believers in Christ. Even though we will share some instructions on how to witness for the Lord from time to time, we believe that most Christians do not need to learn how to witness for the Lord. They just need to go and do it. So our aim is more motivational than instructional. Our soul-winning passage from the Word of God today is Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, which reads, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Allow me to share with you some insights regarding this passage of Scripture from the Word of God, from David Guzik's commentary on the Bible. He goes on to say, "In that day, it was customary for a rabbi to have disciples. There was nothing cult-like about Jesus asking these men to be with him constantly. In effect, he offers them scholarships in the best seminary imaginable. This is a good way to teach someone ministry, in an apprentice fashion rather than through formal education, and it was the customary method in Jesus' day." Our soul-winning quote for today is from Vincent Donovan. He said, "Evangelization is a process of bringing the gospel to people where they are, not where you would like them to be. When the gospel reaches a people where they are, their response to the gospel is the church in a new place." End of quote. Our soul-winning devotional is part two of our series titled The Master Plan of Evangelism from Robert E. Coleman, and I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Master Plan of Evangelism. It is available on our website for just $35. Men willing to learn. What is more revealing about these men is that at first they do not impress us as being key men. None of them occupied prominent places in the synagogue, nor did any of them belong to the Levitical priesthood. For the most part, they were common laboring men, probably having no professional training beyond the rudiments of knowledge necessary for their vocation. Perhaps a few of them came from families of some considerable means, such as the sons of Zebedee, but none of them could have been considered wealthy. They had no academic degrees. They did have a business in the arts. They did not have degrees in the arts and philosophies of their day. Like their master, their formal education likely consisted only of the synagogue schools. Most of them were raised in the poor section of the country around Galilee. Apparently, the only one of the 12 who came from the more refined region of Judea was Judas Iscariot. By any standard of sophisticated culture then and now, they would surely be considered as a rather ragged collection of souls. One might wonder how Jesus could ever use them. They were impulsive, temperamental, easily offended, and had all of the prejudices of their environment. In short, these men selected by the Lord to be his assistants represented an average cross-section of society in their day, not the kind of group one would expect to win the world for Christ. Yet Jesus saw in these simple men the potential of leadership for the kingdom. They were indeed unlearned and ignorant according to the world's standard, but they were teachable, though often mistaken in their judgments and slow to comprehend spiritual things. They were honest men, willing to confess their need. Their mannerisms may have been awkward and their abilities limited, but with the exception of the traitor, their hearts were big. What is perhaps most significant about them was their sincere yearning, yearning for God and the realities of his life. The superficiality of the religious life about them had not obsessed their hope for the Messiah. They were fed up with the hypocrisy of the ruling aristocracy. Some of them had already joined the revival movement of John the Baptist. These men were looking for someone to lead them in the way of salvation. Such men, pliable in the hands of the Master, could be molded into a new image. Jesus can use anyone who wants to be used. Beloved, in our next podcast, if the Lord should tarry his coming, we will look at the selection concentrated on a few. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be men and women, boys and girls, pliable in your hands, and simple enough and believing enough to be used by you to turn the world upside down for your glory, as these men did. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience, and we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winners fire. God bless you.